Welcome to Cider Chat. In this episode, we're speaking with Nan Stefanik of the Vermont Quince Company, and we'll find out the results of the 2020 New England Quince Taste Test, plus a bit of tips for you on how to ID quince varieties. Hello, my name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world.
Hip, hip, hooray!
Cider Chat is now in its sixth season with over 260 episodes, which you can find all linked at the Cider Chat podcast archive page. Just go to ciderchat.com/podcast. In addition to a weekly show, I also lead Totally Cider Tours worldwide. So if you're looking to get out on the road and sip cider and to cascade along the Champs-Élysées, maybe in France, or to head into Herefordshire or Somerset in the UK, or perhaps you'd like to take a tour and check out the wonderful ciders in my home port of New England, I have that and more at the Totally Cider page at ciderchat.com. Next up, it's a word from our sponsor with the Q&A with Fermentis. And this week's question for Kevin is, can you explain a little bit about the difference between mineral and organic nutrient or nutrient additions? Because let's face it, Ciderville, Fermentis is a huge worldwide producer of yeast cultures. Take it away, Kevin.
Hello, my name is Kevin Lane, and I'm the technical sales support manager for the Americas for Fermentis. Yeah, I can briefly explain without getting too in-depth. I have a personal favorite way of talking about this, personal favorite way of explaining it to people that aren't completely informed or aren't completely aware. And the way I like to describe it is I usually compare mineral nitrogen to like a sugar, and I'm talking about products like DAP, diammonium phosphate right now, and I compare organic nutrients to something like a pasta. And it's kind of similar in terms of their structure, in terms of DAP being very simplistic, very easy for the yeast to intake, and very easy for them to use, and organic nitrogen being a little bit more complex, that being coming from most likely yeast derivative when we're talking about these types of fermentations. The other interesting similarity is that when the yeast goes to use said nitrogen, said nutrient, if it's mineral-based, usually the yeast is going to take it in very quickly and have a burst of energy, and then that nutrient burns out because the yeast uses it all so quickly, and then you have a stronger decrease in fermentation activity. Whereas the organic nutrient, which again I relate more to like a pasta, a complex carbohydrate, it's not going to have as big, as strong of a spike of an impact on your fermentation, on the fermentation activity of the yeast, but it's going to have a prolonged effect on that increase in fermentation activity. So when it comes to really the differences, there's much more that goes into it than that. It's a very simplified way to describe the two. But the mineral nutrients are going to be much like a sugar. If you gave a kid a bowl of sugar versus a bowl of pasta, the kid, of course, is probably going to prefer the bowl of sugar, eat it really quickly, have a spike in energy, and then have a very lackadaisical effect after that. And the same is true for the mineral versus the organic nutrients, that the yeast will have a spike and a slightly higher spike in activity when they receive the mineral nutrient versus the organic nutrient. But again, similar to a child that eats a bowl of pasta versus sugar, the bowl of pasta or the organic nutrient is going to have a much longer effect. And in fact, it does help the yeast long term to finish the fermentation faster, from the research that we've done at least.
Thanks, Kevin. I just love how you just make it so easy to understand. To find out more, go to fermentis.com.
Ba-dum-ba-dum.
have an email here from a new patron to Cider Chat, and his name is Matthew. He writes, "Hi, Rhea. Thanks for making a smart, informative podcast and creating an inviting space for the cider community. You make a newbie like me feel welcome." Aw, that's exactly what we want to hear. He continues with, "I grew up in the Finger Lakes and have always loved wine. My interest in local, natural wines led me to cider." That makes sense. "I appreciate the human scale of cider making, and this fall, with the confidence and know-how I gained to listening to Cider Chat, I collected apples, some foraged, some from farm markets, and some from orchards. I crushed them in a garbage disposal, pressed them in a tabletop press, and have them aging in my basement." Yeah! "I'm most interested in low-intervention ciders and would rather have a little funk in my glass than something too clean and lacking character. Just keep it up. I'm learning so much listening to you and your guests. Thanks for what you do, Matt." Aw, bravo, Matt, for taking the time to become a patron of Cider Chat and writing this cool email. It's great to hear that you grew up in the Finger Lakes, because I did a complete series on the Finger Lakes. Not a complete, because there's more makers, so I may edit that out there. But, you know, wow, just an amazing, beautiful, scenic area. There's like hundreds and hundreds of waterfalls. It's a big destination for foodies. And then you couple that with the amazing terroir and the ciders there. Ooh la la, it's just, it's one of those heavenly places on earth. And I'm super stoked to hear that you're making cider now. Wow, I bet after this episode, you're going to be looking at Quince in a different light, I suspect. Because, you know, boy, there's just so much. It's just infinite possibilities with cider in this realm. So cool. And thanks again for becoming a patron of Cider Chat. It really helps to keep this podcast on the air. You can't even imagine. Up next is our featured conversation with the founder of Vermont Quince Company, Nan Stefanik. We're going to begin by hearing a little bit of her backstory and how she was first introduced to Quince.
I got introduced to Quince one summer when my teenage son and I were traveling in Spain along the coast, and I ran into Quince Paste or Membrillo, often with a fresh cheese everywhere I went.
Upon Nan's return to Vermont, there was a household with a group of women who did a lot of preserves, and so she found something.
We stored stuff down in the basement, and one day I went down there and I saw this bushel of kind of partially rotting fruit, and I asked my friend, "What is it, and are you going to get to it, or should I do something with it?" And it turned out to be quince. There was a guy in Putney, Vermont, who had three trees. He would make himself a batch of chutney each year and then give away the rest. And so she had picked it up. And so I was obviously thrilled, because I had, you know, just that earlier that year become fascinated with quince in Europe. And so I just got online and just started making anything and everything I could, from candies to coarse quince paste and preserves and savory things and, you know, stews and everything. And it got to be an annual activity where I just perfected some recipes, gave it each year in the holidays to family and friends. And then I don't know what made me think, maybe my son started doing just a little bit of market research. And I realized that crazily, all like high-end restaurants were getting their quince paste from Spain and Italy. Mm. And all it is this, you know, wonderful fruit in the same family as the apple and the pear. You know, so the thought of it being kind of shipped across the country, across the ocean, and even from Australia and New Zealand, and I mean, it was crazy. And there really wasn't anybody in the U.S. with a good line of quince products.
And it was then in 2012 that Nan decided to incorporate Vermont Quince with the social mission to
promote the quince, reintroduce it within New England, It had been here in the 1600s and was a staple, in fact, due to a number of its attributes, including its pectin. So it was commonly used for making preserves and such. And historically, it was used for medicinal purposes as well. The problem with quince is it's not very tasty raw. Mm-hmm. So as the apples and the pears got more and more popular, you know, the fact that you couldn't just chomp into quince, it's not a juicy creature, it kind of really kind of was slow in taking off in popularity. Once powder pectin came on the scene, that didn't help the quince cause. Because you have to cook it, you really can't make any nutritional claims from a vitamin perspective, but eaten raw, it actually has more vitamin C than apples or pears. Very high in antioxidants.
And so the quince fell out of favor. But Nan knew that with a little bit of cooking, the barely edible raw quince turned into...
It's quite magical. As you cook quince, it goes from, you know, like the color of an apple to, you know, kind of amber, to kind of orangey red, to ruby red, to garnet, the longer you cook it. And then the flavor of quince, you know, from the fragrance of the raw fruit, and then quite the distinctive flavor of the cooked quince is something that I think are special.
We have a good sense that the apple originated from Kazakhstan, but what about the quince?
It was first cultivated in Mesopotamia way back when. It kind of was around in the Eastern Mediterranean, Turkey, Armenia. It was brought to New England in 1629.
That's 4 years after the first documented apple orchard was planted in Boston, Massachusetts in 1625.
Valued then for its pectin and making preserves. A year later, it was thriving in the New England colonies and considered a staple. In the 1850s, there's records indicating that it was already being grown in Texas. Shortly after that, it made its way to California, where interest in breeding new varieties peaked in the late 19th century. And why that's important is that when I started Vermont Quince in 2012 and was doing my market research, 95% of the commercial quince was grown in California. Mid-20th century, that the development of artificial pectin furthered the decline of quince. And now it's been, you know, kind of every, well, for probably at least the last 10 or 20 years, it's been making a revival.
Nan speaks next about the author of the cookbook, Simply Quince.
Queen of Quince, Barbara Gazarian, calls it the quintessential slow food. And so it makes sense that it would be a slow revival, I guess.
But aren't there some quince that are edible when raw?
There definitely are some varieties that are more edible when grown in like California versus New England. And even within New England, zones. So we're all in about zone 5 right now. So the information that we have, I wouldn't say is necessarily applicable to other zones, but we're really trying to help fill in some of those holes. I think the growing season and how long it takes these quince to ripen. It's a tricky thing harvesting quince when it's ripe, because even on a tree, you know, what's on the top of the tree, it might have that lovely aroma, but then the rest of it is not ripe. And of course, you want to pick it when it's not ripe if you're going to store it for any length of time.
I asked Nan to talk about the hashtag Grow Quince initiative that she spearheaded.
It started with kind of the cooking quince and coming out with a line of condiments and preserves just to start. And for the last 9 years or 8 years have been introducing the taste of quince and just familiarizing people through farmers markets, festivals, and then selling through distributors. So this hashtag Grow Quince is the other side, is this pulling together resources to make it easier for both backyard and commercial growers to get information, choose varieties, figure out where to plant it, decide, you know, what markets they, you know, might develop and just how they could enjoy it for them, for themselves. So we are fortunate to be partially funded to get started. And I think that was in 2019. And we're just pulling together over the next couple months, making available a number of educational resources that we hope that growers, both backyard and commercial, will find useful.
And with so many cider makers now working with Quince, both as a standalone product to ferment and as an adjunct to the cider, I asked Nan if there's any resources specific to that particular market.
Kind of a, I guess we call it keywords or taxonomy of sorts. And as we're going through a number of resources, we're tagging them by variety, any references whatsoever to varieties or comparisons. And we're really, with hashtag Grow Quince, working with known varieties only. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of neighborhood trees that are very old, and I don't know how, because by planting from seed, and some of these trees are so old that they came up from seedlings, maybe they're not true. But there are some distinctive characteristics, like aromataia is much more ridgy. Some of them are more squat.
Well, what do you mean by ridgy? Let's kind of dissect that a little bit. What is ridgy?
Or like a pumpkin ridgy, you know? Like that. So that might be harder to process, like try peeling that. You know, would be kind of a pain, more of a pain in the butt than like a round apple, a smooth thing. So that aromataia, and it, and so some are round and some are more pear shaped. So the aromataia is ridgy and kind of more squat. The Smyrna is like big honking thing and more pear and unusual, kind of ugly.
I love that word, a big honking thing. I don't know if that's like an East Coast phrase, but you know, it's what I've used before too. And it kind of really fits for the Smyrna. So it's kind of like a, if people don't know what big honking thing is, but it's kind of like squat and bulbous, would you say?
Yeah, it's not as sensual as like the Kugenskaya, for example. The orange seems more round and apple-like. Yeah, so what I envision with the hashtag Grow Quince, and I said we're pulling everything together and trying to figure out a way to make it easy, or again, with a kind of this keyword project that we're working on, is that somebody will be able to go in and pull up all the references, things that we find, photographs that we have. And then the next phase is really going to be a crowdsourced mapping mapping project where people who have a single tree to, you know, a commercial orchard that's got 5,000 trees, should it, you know, exists, and really put up information about the varieties that they have, as well as growing conditions. We'll be looking at soil pH and other matters. So yeah, hopefully for the results that we'll be releasing on with the taste test, that we will include the information about just our observations and our photos of the five varieties that we included in the taste test this year. And next year we'll choose different varieties. So anywhere and everywhere. And so some of our partners include North American Fruit Explorer. We'd love to get it as a separate link. They have a special interest group that's on Quince in particular. So these resources will all be accessible there. We'll look at Vermont tree fruit growers and any other, the New England states, land grant colleges who might be interested in putting up links. We'd go to different conferences and have, you know, we'll be doing a fair amount of outreach. Once we have all the hashtag Grow Quince resources up, there'll be a landing page, mm-hmm. initially a hashtag Grow Quince landing page to start with. And then we'll also be working with some of the local nonprofits around here, including Scott Farm, mm-hmm. hoping that they'll be interested in making it available on their site. So anywhere and everywhere.
This project has a lot going for it, but I kind of backed up Nan a little bit just to have her give us some tips on IDing the variety known as Kukinskaya.
It's smooth skinned. Mm-hmm. It's consistent. It doesn't tend to split as much as some of the others. We had a drought last year, so in looking at these, so it seemed hardy. The yellow was very consistent from it. I don't know. It just seems pretty to me.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to tell Orange or Aromat Naya that they aren't pretty either. So just we'll keep that on the down low.
Well, I do love them all.
I know you do. And your affection for it is just absolutely contagious. And we worldwide are all the better for the work that you're doing here, Nan. It's just outstanding. Let's get into this taste test.
It was a pandemic induced initiative, and we called it the 2020 New England Quince Taste Test. What we did was gathered quince of 5 known varieties, and that was the Aromataya, Kukinskaya, Smyrna, Orange, and Von Damen. And we prepared them in 3 different ways. So we made sets of raw quince, like just kind of washing the fruit and keeping it whole. Then we poached quince for 1 hour with just a small amount of organic cane sugar and I think a little bit of lemon juice. And we just poached it, chopped up the same quantity, used the exact same recipe, poached it for 1 hour, and then canned that. And then on the juice, I used a steam extractor, and again, got the same quantity of fruit, chopped it the same way, the same size pieces, did the steam extraction for 1 hour, and then bottled that. Then we chose a fabulous panel of tasters that included Barbara Gazarian, who we previously mentioned, the Queen of Quince, mm-hmm. and the author of the Simply Quince Cookbook. She had a small team there. And then Rhea and the Nose from the Cider Chat. Mm-hmm. They were you guys completed the survey forms separately, so that included too. We had Phyllis Trier, who's a local woman who had a frozen baked goods business, very successful frozen baked goods company. She's just a fabulous cook, and locally now she's retired, but supports local food producers and actually started a new blog called Bittersweet Kitchen Ramblings. So Phyllis had a little team. And then I had thrown out to on Facebook and just asked for if anyone was interested in participating, just to see who would come up. And I just chose a couple, and we'll just call it Team Addie. And she's a pastry chef, and her husband was a sommelier. Wow. They're both quince lovers. So those 5 participated and looked at all 3, the raw quince, the poached, and the juice. And then I had 3 others that just did the poached. And I got an outlier result. And I just wanted a little bit more confidence in, so I did send out another three sets of the poach just to get a little more feedback. And those were people I knew to have really good palates.
Wow.
I mean, you know, who in the past have helped do some product development for me when I'm was developing a new product. I want to just get some feedback on my seasoning or whatever. Mm-hmm. What we did was sent the samples of each of the five varieties for each of the three formats of quince or types of quince that we were testing. And then we asked people to score pleasurability. And we looked at appearance, texture, and flavor. We did use fruit that was all harvested within like 1 week, within the same week. It wasn't all the same ripeness.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that for the 2020 taste test, the Aromataya was the most ripe, and the Von Damen and Smyrna a little bit less so. Mm-hmm. So that says something about growers in zone 5. Aromataya would ripen earlier than some of the others. So it also was a year that I mentioned there was a drought, and there also was a 4-day stretch in September that where we had below freezing temperatures for 4 days straight in September. Very unusual for zone 5. And so there may have been, there certainly was an aesthetic impact on that. So the observation, this will all be in this information background will be included in the observations that we release, and just something for people to keep in mind. But there is an issue of browning in quince grown around here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the other reasons for, you know, kind of starting Hashtown Grow Quince when I had, somebody from, Zeke and coming at Scott Farm had experienced some browning, and we're, you know, really trying to figure out, is it because of like a cold spell like that, or is it related to storing? You know, and it does seem that you do have early frost, that it does affect how long that quince can be stored. All the tasters were given samples that were only numbered. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1 was Aromataya. 2 was Kuginskaya. 3 was Smyrna. 4 was Von Damen. And 5 was Orange. I have to say, really quite amazed that there was a relative consensus on all three, the raw quince, the quince juice, and the poached quince among our tasters. I expected it to just be all over the map. But I don't know, it kind of made me feel like it's worth our while.
Yeah, cool.
So let's start with raw quince. Generally, quince is not eaten raw. So that being said, we were very surprised to see that the Kuginskaya was rated first or second by 4 of the tasters. So Kuginskaya won, and then Aromataya and Orange were runners up for raw quince. All right, moving on to the poached quince. Orange came out on top. 4 people chose that as their first or second favorite. Following right behind it is Kuginskaya. Quince juice. So this was interesting. Didn't you like how all the colors were so different?
Oh my goodness. That was like dreamy. The colors are, they're kind of like apricot-y, like a little bit of a pale or a deeper orange.
Mm-hmm. Salmon.
Salmon is a great color descriptor too. Yeah. That was just absolutely fascinating. It's like getting like a secret treasure box.
Yeah. All right. So for the quince juice, Aromataya came out on top. That means that the Aromataya, again, came in as runner-ups on the raw quince and a clear favorite for quince juice. I've been playing around with infusing with a quince liqueur, with just in kind of infusing 151 with quince. And I've been doing it for like three years now. And it just coincidentally this year, the first two batches, I did one with all aromataya. The second batch was all orange. I did kind of do a 2 month in check, and the aromataya liqueur, or I'm calling it a quince ratafia, is fabulous and tastes better than the orange. They both taste good, but the aromataya, it was so smooth and so nice. So that I think might be of relevance to cider makers. Mm-hmm. The fact that the aromataya scored well with juice, and that it's doing a nice job with infusion, and it also ripens early. Mm. And it's very distinctive because of those ridges. Mm-hmm. So they can identify that, and common and available through One Green World or Rain Tree Nursery. So you can order them for planting this spring. Yeah. The other thing about, and I've got to do a little bit more research on this, because the yield on the juice, I decided to measure how much juice we got out of the, after 1 hour of extraction, just to compare between varieties. And so for the first three, the Aromataya, the Kuginskaya, and the Smyrna, they all produced about 850 to 900 milliliters of juice consistently. So I was like, ho-hum, okay, well, that's interesting. But then when I did the Von Damen and the orange, it was about 30% less. It was only about between 700 and 750. I would like to do a little bit more tracking that down before saying they're not as juicy. And then again, remember the Von Damen, which was number four, had more internal browning. Mm-hmm. So did that affect the yield? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, you're really like scaling up the quince knowledge here. And I could feel all the primarily quince bushes around me just smiling widely, and never mind Mr. Quince is going to go gaga over this. So it's such wonderful news for all of us. Thank you so much for...
Well, yeah, I have to say that you made my year last year with coming up and with your interest, and then jumping in with all these podcasts. And I mean, you're fully on board, Team Quince, and I really appreciate all you're doing to promote our beautiful ancient fruit of happiness, good fortune, and love.
Mr. Quince, are you forgetting to cue on the music?
Right. Here we go.
Hey, thanks, Perry Pear, for helping out Mr. Quince. You know, when a quince hears that it is the ancient fruit of happiness, good fortune, and love, I mean, that gives you pause, doesn't it, Mr. Quince?
She is a very kind woman.
Indeed, she is, Mr. Quince. Indeed, she is.
You got that right, Poms. And for all you folks out there in Ciderville, you could go to Nan's Estes store for Vermont Quince now and find some of her products online. It's super easy. There is a link in the show notes to all that, plus the Grow Quince Initiative Facebook page, and more. Plus a couple back episodes that Nan mentioned, all on growing and harvesting quince with Zeke Goodban, who is now working at Champlain Orchards in Vermont. And you also heard him mention the New England 2020 taste test for quince that both the nose and I took part in. And that's in episode 248. I have a link in the show notes to that episode, the Zeke Goodban episodes. And next week, we're going to be featuring the Fermenting with Quince presentation that was recorded for CiderCon 2021. As we continue to wrap up this series for now, all on Quince. Well, I think it's a wrap for today. We're going to get a couple little hankies for Mr. Quince, who, you know, well, it's an emotional experience once again. What can we say? Talking palms do have feelings, you know.
Menlars, can you get Mr. Quince one more tissue?
You're the best, Palms. And so are the fine patrons of this here podcast who donate every month to get this podcast online out to you, Ciderville. Become a patron today by going to the Cider Chat Patreon page. That's spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Google it and sign up today. And with that, I leave you here. This is Rhea Windcaller and my good friends, the Talking Palms, who helped bring in this week's episode with Nan Stefanik. We can't wait to see you soon in Ciderville.
We like cider. We like palms. We love orchards and having fun. There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh, yes, there is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider. We like palms. We like orchards. Having some fun.
There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Oh yes we do.
We like palms.
Oh yes we do.
We love orchards. Having some fun.
There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
Ba-da-da-dum. We like walking down the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Ba-da-da-dum.
We like palms.
Oh yes we do.
We like orchards, having some fun.
Yeehaw!